2 Peter chapter 3, we're going to start with a new topic this morning. We've been looking at the cross. We've been looking at the crucifixion, the resurrection of Christ as well last week as we celebrated the resurrection morning. And it was a great time together and appreciate all that was here. And so we wanted to get into another little topic here today and just ask God's blessing upon it. Important part of a life as a believer this morning, and it is this that we continue our spiritual growth. How important it is that we continue to grow in the Lord, and I want to start there in 2 Peter chapter number 3, verse number. I just want to look at the last verse, just starting here today, but we'll kind of let this be our key verse, and it's this: but grow. Amen. Can you help me preach this morning? Look at your neighbor and say, "Grow." That was weak. Can we try it again? Grow. Is everybody awake this morning? Grow in grace. Amen. It says, like, I might need to grow in a little grace this morning, doesn't it? But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. To grow. God, help us to grow. Amen. We're continually growing, aren't we? We're continually growing in our life and in our walk with the Lord as we become believers this morning. When we put our faith in him, we're going to look at this and ask God to help us to grow. Help us to grow as individuals. Help us to grow as a body. And I know we haven't been long. We were looking at a similar topic to this when Paul's prayer for the saints and his continued prayer. And one thing we want to look at is that our lives, that we are continuing to mature. And there's at so many parts of that, that as we study this topic, as we get into this spiritual growth topic, that, you know, that there's so many areas of our life that it influences. It influences our very walk. It influences how we live our life every day. It influences our view of God and who God is. And the way that Peter puts it here, he tells them to grow in grace or to enlarge. To expand. When we talk about growing, we're talking about something increasing in size. Grow in grace. When we talk about the grace of God, we're not talking about just the grace that we receive. You know, when we talk about grace, we talk about unmerited favor. But we're talking about the divine influence on our heart. God, let your spirit influence us. I want to preface this study as we get into it because it's always important to make this, and I want you to write it down, just so you will remember that I said it, and you won't accuse me later of not saying it. We've got to rely on the Spirit of God. Amen. We've got to lean on the Spirit of God, but that does not eliminate what our instructions that we have. It does not eliminate the commands that we are given in Scripture and the onus, if you will, that is upon us as believers to grow. You know, it's not like, you know, we can look at a plant and is that real? The thing real? If I command it to grow, it just doesn't grow, does it? If I say grow plant, it's got to be fed. It's got to be nourished. It's got to have, I don't know if that thing needs sunlight or not, but I guarantee it needs some water. It needs some, you know, it needs something to help it to grow. And that's what we need. And it's important that we're feeding ourselves that we're hungering for the Word of God. It's so important today that we grow in the Lord. That we grow. I don't want to sound skeptical this morning. I don't want to sound in a negative light, but it seems like that maybe as we look at the church as a whole, that so often we mirror society. We often mirror what the world has and what the world, I guess, the spirit of the age. And if I had to identify it this morning, so often it would be selfishness. It would be that about me. Often we'll come to church and see, even when we come to the house of God or when we gather together, it's all often, and I'm not pointing a finger at anyone this morning except myself as well. It's what can I get from this? There's a new craze that's in the world, and if you've ever been on the computer at all, everybody know what a selfie is. What's a selfie? Anybody ever took a selfie? I have. I think I took my first selfie this past week. Well, actually, a couple weeks ago, I was sending Shell a picture. I want to know what I was doing. I took a selfie. That's when you hold out the camera and you look and you smile and you take a picture of yourself. They even make cameras now that you can hit the button and it flips around so, you know, that you can see you and you can see what you look like and you can take a selfie of yourself. And so I've taken a selfie or two. I'll just go ahead and tell you this morning, but I don't want to take a selfie just because it's all about me. Because I want to tell you, our walk with God is just not all about us. Matter of fact, when we start to look outside of ourselves, and spiritual growth is something when we begin to look outside. I think the world's idea throughout the last, I guess even since the 80s, you know, there's been books and books written on self-help and finding yourself and self-actualization. And I remember, I'm probably going to date myself here, but back years ago when the Burger King commercial come out, anybody ever heard of Have It Your Way? We want to have it our way. I think that meant you can get on your burger what you wanted. I guess it used to come where you didn't get it your way. You had to go and take whatever the package was. That's what you had. Well, Burger King says you can have it your way. Well, let me tell you, in a walk with God, it doesn't work that way. We can't have it our way. We want to have it God's way. Now, that's part of our spiritual growth. When we're talking about growing spiritually, part of that is realizing it's just not on us. It's just not about us. The mirror is just not what, let me take a selfie. Let me look at, see what I can get out of this. But when we look outside of ourselves, now, Peter says it this way. He finishes his letter in 2 Peter, he says, I want you to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He finishes it that way. I'm actually going a little bit backwards because if we would go back to, maybe around chapter 2 there of his first letter that he wrote or his first epistle, look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and look how he says it here in verse 1. 1 Peter 2, 1, wherefore? Laying aside all malice or evil, just depravity, lay this aside. All guile, which is trick or deceit. Hypocrisy, lay this aside. Hypocrisy is just simply playing a part. Peter says, put that aside. Envies, don't need me to explain that one, just simply jealousy. Matter of fact, envies and evil speakings, he says, put these aside. Evil speakings, you know, if you say, well, that would never include me. I would never let a bad word come out of my mouth or I would never say anything evil. Well, there's more to that. It also means backbiting. It also means talking against. And Peter says, put that aside. Put these things away from you. And he says this, as newborn babes, as new believers, as a new Christian, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. So Peter, in his epistles, he ends it with grow in the grace and knowledge. And he starts his epistle with, I want you to grow. I want you to continue to grow as a flower needs water and it needs nutrients. Peter says this, as a matter of fact, he used the example of a newborn babe. Desire the sincere milk of the word, just to hunger for the word, the sincere. It means incorrupted or untarnished. You know, it's been a while since my kids have been little, but no, I was talking to, who was it? We were talking the other day about, you know, back when we used to have to feed our kids that food, and did anybody ever try that stuff? It's awful. I mean, it's not very good to eat. I remember we used to have to mix that cereal up and it looked pretty good, so I wanted to try it one day, and so it just wasn't much to it. It just wasn't much flavor. It was very basic. It was very, you know, kind of grassroots, if you will. That's what that word here means, sincere milk. Desire this. God, help us to desire the sense. As newborn babes, a babe needs milk. I mean, a babe needs something to cause them to grow, you know, to cause them to grow into adulthood. He said, I want you to put these things away, lay aside, put away, cast off these things. And so as we're talking about our spiritual maturity or our spiritual growth, there may be some things that firstly we need to put off. There may be some things that we first need to cast off. and these things that Peter has given this instruction here, desire the simple truth of the Word of God. Now, we do know that there's instruction in the Bible. As a matter of fact, Paul will talk about it at some point, that you need to get beyond the milk, and you need to be able to have meat, but we've got to have growth. We've got to ask God to, by His Spirit, to help us to grow spiritually. It's as needful as a physical growth. You know, if a baby does not grow physically, then there's issues there. So we want to grow. I'm going to switch mics in. This thing's popping again. Let me do that. We don't want to be a stunted believer, do we? Where our growth is stunted. But we want, as a Christian, we want to experience maturity. And I found, you know, even as the years that many of us have been serving the Lord, that we're still growing. That there's things that we're still learning. But as we start this study, I want you to see the importance of having the right information of what this is. Now, I don't want to sound negative, but let me first start by telling you what spiritual growth is not. I know that's kind of a bad approach, I guess, but I just want us to understand what spiritual growth is not. It first off, I think it's important that we understand that I'm not talking about your position in Christ. I'm not talking about increasing, because I believe that looked last week, how that the Spirit of God moved upon Christ and raised Him from the dead out of that tomb. It talked about this, how that the Spirit hovered. I believe that resurrected life is a miracle. It is a miraculous thing. It's something that takes place when we believe on Jesus Christ, that when we put our faith in Christ, that we are made alive. So I'm not talking, I just want you to understand, I'm not talking about our position in Christ, because when we are in Christ, we are of a new creation, or we are a new creature in Christ Jesus. And so just as Paul talked about in Colossians there, how that we have been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. Now, when you're translated, you're just simply moved from this position to this position. So if you have yielded your life to the Lord, if you've surrendered to Christ, you have been translated. But that's not the end of it. We have so much instruction in the Bible about our growth. Resurrected life is an instant miracle. It's not a process. We believe on Jesus. As the Scripture has said, we have resurrected life. We're walking in newness of life. We have the Spirit of Christ that comes and lives inside of us and teaches us how we ought to walk. So we're not talking about that. We're not talking about our position in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Paul says in Colossians 2:10, "And ye are complete in Him." We can rest in that, can't we, this morning? Just simply rest in the fact that we're complete in Jesus Christ. Amen? Jesus plus nothing. You're complete in Him. He has what we need. All things pertaining unto life and godliness. When we talk about something being complete, we're talking about being full or made perfect. It says He's given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So we're not talking about our position in Christ. That's through our faith on Jesus. Surrendering our life to Him. Aren't you glad to be in Christ this morning? Amen. We're in Christ. We're believers. If you have believed on Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, you're in Him. We're not referring so much to this morning about just simply trying to find more favor with God. We're not even talking about that. My experience has been that people that spend their life trying to please or find favor with someone else, it's an unhealthy relationship. You know, you see people trying to find the favor of their parents or whatever else. That's not what we're referring to this morning. I'm glad that there's a resting place in Jesus. There's one thing I want us to learn is learn to rest in Him. Just simply just rest. He is our Sabbath, isn't He? How many thankful for Sabbath this morning? Amen. You guys are not with me. I just don't feel you with me today. Amen. Give me an opportunity here. Don't shut me off already. Go to Romans chapter 5. Let's look there. Amen. Romans chapter 5. Look how Paul tells it to the Romans. Now, this is something we can all rest in. It says, for in Romans 5 and 6, for when we were yet without strength, or when we were feeble, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. That's something to rest in, isn't it? While we were yet sinners. Before we ever repented, before we ever came to our faith, Christ paid the price for our sins. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God so loved. Our spiritual growth has little to do with time. You can be serving God for a lot of years and still not be mature as a Christian. Amen. Don't get offended. I'm not talking about anybody in particular here this morning. But I'm just telling you, it doesn't come just by time. It doesn't come just by saying, well, I was looking for that verse this morning where Job said this in Job 32:9, great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment. Not just because you're old. I think he says in another place there, he talks about gray hair just not being a sign of being wise. Amen? Doesn't just come just by time. So when we talk about our spiritual growth, there's got to be a direct purpose or a direction set in our life. We've got to say, Lord, as we were just singing, learning to lean on Jesus. I'm still doing that. I'm still learning to lean. When things come into our life and we struggle with fears and doubts, we just got to learn to lean on him. But I do want this morning, and this is because there's one thing that when I look around, and I know I've said it before, but when I look around our time and in our age, it's important to me that we be an example to our day. That we have men and women that are willing to say, God, use my life as an example to my day. I read a quote, and I actually wrote it down here because I wanted to share it with you. I thought it was real good. It was by a man by the name of John Gardner. He said this, and he says, men of integrity, but I'll say as well, just to include everyone, make sure you all feel included, men and women of integrity, by their very existence, rekindle the belief that as a people we can live above the level of moral squalor. It says we need that belief. A cynical community is a corrupt community. And I'll say this, I think we can see that today. We see cynicism. We see people that maybe don't have a high respect for those in positions of authority. And it may be merited in a sense that there have been many that have corrupted it. There have been many that have abused it. There have been many that did not hold up the standard. Don't you want to be one that does? Amen. All throughout Scripture, there have been men that were willing to stand up, men and women, like the Apostle Paul, that would say this, follow me as I follow Christ. Amen. That was willing to say, you look at my life. You want to see how to live, how to walk, how to behave yourself as a Christian? Follow me. We've got enough people out there preaching and saying, you know, we're all going to mess up. We're all going to fail. But we need people that will stand up and say, God, use my life. God, use me to be an example of what a believer is. Be thou an example of a believer. Spiritual growth. Amen. Spiritual growth. I think as we grow, when we mature in the Lord, that we do understand and we come to a point where we know that it isn't just about us. That life is just not about our happiness or about our positive things, I guess, happening in our life, because there's some times when we go through battles, isn't it? There's times in life when we go through struggle. I guess last week I was listening to a lot of sermons, I guess getting ready for our resurrection morning, for Easter sermon last Sunday, and I was listening to a message by Chuck Swindoll, and he was talking about, he was sharing different stories about people's lives and different testimonies about their life, and he was telling about this family, this husband and wife that had this family of six kids, and I won't go into the details just because it's very heartbreaking to hear, but in a car accident, they lost all six of their children at one time. One time. I listened to this story. I was like, Lord, how could anyone endure this? How could anyone go through that? But yet those people, I don't know that they were there in that congregation that morning, but you know, Chuck Swindoll went on to talk about their life and said that they've basically surrendered their life completely over to God and said, Lord, use us for your service. Use us, God. Use this in some way. And so I actually went online after that, and I Googled their name that it gave, and they've got this website set up to where, you know, they're ministering to people that go through hurt and trials and hardships. And I thought, here's these people that have lost their children, and yet they're willing to say, God, I surrender my life to you. God, take this hardship that I've gone through and use it to bless someone else. Use it to reach out to someone else's life. Why? Because it's not just about us. Spiritual maturity helps us to understand that it's what we can do for others, not just what can be done for us. I mean, God, use us to reach our world. Spiritual growth. It's not just about a knowledge, about gaining knowledge. It's just not about knowing. Knowledge being knowledge. Matter of fact, Paul says in one place, when we talk about knowledge, he says knowledge has a tendency to puff up. It means it swells our heads. It causes us to puff. I heard someone say it this way one time. It's the whale that comes to the top and starts blowing that gets harpooned. And that's often the way it is, isn't it? But yet knowledge puffeth up. But love or charity, he goes on to say, does what? Edifies. So we can be puffed up or we can build up. God, help us to build up. So we're not just talking about gaining knowledge. We're not just talking about memorization or all these things. We're talking about having the Word of God, putting the Word of God in our mind. Amen. Spiritual maturity and letting the Spirit of God work through us. God, help us to build up, not to puff up. Doesn't have a whole lot to do with just more activity. We're not talking about just doing more. I've seen a guy the other day that had retired from our work, and he's a big part of his church. And when he came to visit us the other day, I hadn't seen him in a while, and he comes in, he says, I asked him how he was doing. He'd been sick. He was the one that we requested prayer for here. For a lot of weeks there, I guess. But he's still battling sickness, but it seems like that he's doing pretty good. I asked him, so are you staying busy? He said, oh, Lord. He said, in a church. He said, I'm working more in the church. He said, they about to kill me. He said, they're working me to death. He said, you know what? Some churches will just work you to death. I was like, yeah, I guess so. That's true. But we're not just talking about more activity. Matter of fact, there's a conscious decision that we just don't cover you up with church activity. What we want to do is give you the tools and try to work and grow together, that we can take what we have here and go outside and reach the world, reach our families, reach the people that we have on our jobs, pray for them. So we're not just talking about doing more. That's not what, when we talk about activity, that's not what we're talking about. I think in the scriptures we have examples of people, particularly Pharisees, that they were riddled with activity. They did more. Matter of fact, Jesus on his Sermon on the Mount, he said, there'll be those in that day to come say, Lord, Lord, we did all this in your name. We cast out devils. We healed the sick. And what did Jesus say? He said, depart from me. I never knew you. We're not just talking about activity. We're not talking about just doing. It's not enough to just do more. And I want to add this quickly because I want us to understand that spiritual growth has nothing to do with prosperity. Nothing to do with it. Say, why do you bring that up? I don't know that it's that needful here, but there are many out there that preach this. They preach that godliness is gain. Spiritual growth has nothing to do with that. I don't understand, and I had this conversation with a guy not long ago, said, I don't understand why some people's lives, even as Christians, some of them go through life and they have, just seems like they just kind of have a life of ease and everything works out for them and they've got money, they got this in the bank, they got that in the bank, but yet you'll take another one that's just as much a Christian, just as much a believer, seems like they struggle and have hardship and maybe things don't work out quite as well for them. I can't tell you why. But I can tell you this, that God is working in both lives. Amen. That there are those that do, that prosper. There's those that don't, financially speaking. But we got to understand that that's not a sign or an indicator of spiritual growth. There are those out there preaching that. Look over in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Very familiar passage to us. If he says, kind of not a real good place to start there, but let's just start with verse 3 and we'll try to pick it up what Paul is teaching to Timothy. 1 Timothy 6 and 3, he says, if any man teach otherwise or teach other than what I'm teaching you and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh evil, or envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. And here's what he says, from such withdraw thyself, for godliness, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world. It is certain we can carry nothing out. Listen here. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. We cannot make things the pursuit of our life. Amen? Surely I can get an amen on that one. We cannot make things the pursuit of our life. We can't go after. It's not going to bring contentment. It's not going to bring joy. Matter of fact, it usually brings heartache. Usually brings, he says, look how simple he makes it. Food and raiment. Be what? Content. Oh, that's not for our day. We got to have internet access. We got to have 3 cars. We got to have, you know, a house. We got to have stuff. And I like all that. Don't get me wrong. But let me tell you, it's not going to bring contentment. It's not going to. Don't pursue this. Amen. He just simply breaks down. You got food? You got raiment? Be content. That's simple. He says, matter of fact, here he says, those that would preach that gain is godliness, what'd you say do?
Run.
From such withdraw thyself. If that's what you're being told, turn the channel or turn it off. If they're preaching that, it's wrong. Pull away from it. It's not about godliness and gain. It's about godliness with contentment is great gain. It's everywhere. I mean, that's not spiritual growth. My first experience of this is when I was young, when Shell and I first got married. We had an awesome honeymoon. We loaded up in a van with, 7 other people and drove to Mexico. That's a great honeymoon. When we got there, we went to these villages. One of them we had to drive on this mountain road back way, curves, rocks, winding around. I felt like we drove a day. I don't know how long it took us. It took a long time. And get up on those ledges where you look over and seemed like it was no end to where we were going. We finally got to this village out in the middle of nowhere. Goats, cows, whatever, running around, pigs, no cows, pigs. Little houses with thatch roofs. I mean, I'm talking huts. They didn't have shingles. They had huts, dirt floors. But they did have this nice little building sitting up there in the middle. that was their church building. They had no idea we were coming. No idea. It was too far. You couldn't call them on the phone. They didn't have a phone. Their cell service didn't work out there, I guess. But anyway, they didn't have any of that. And when we got there, the minister that took us out there, they just began to spread the word. We're having church in a couple hours. Church, and you know, that evening, I guess. So we went and ate at this house. They made us eggs, and we ate the food. I don't remember. I don't think we drank the water, but we did eat the food. And we got there, service time. We went in there. Place was packed. I mean, I guess the building was probably about the size of this building. It was packed. And we began to sing and worship, and they were singing in Spanish. I didn't really know what they were saying. I heard a lot of Gloria Adioses, which I got that one figured out, glory to God. But I looked around, and I remember looking at one man, and somehow or another he had taken rubber off of like a tire, and they had cut it in the shape of a shoe and put a strap around it, and had slipped his foot into that, and that was his shoes. That was his church shoes. But yet when he found out they were having church that night, he made it there. And they began to worship, and they began to lift their hands and sing songs of praise. And there were some languages that went on that I did recognize. And they just began to worship the Lord. And I looked around, I was like, these people don't have anything. But you wouldn't have told them that. They didn't know it. But they worshiped. Amen. Because they understood that godliness was not gain. It was surrendering their life to Christ and saying, Lord, whatever situation I'm in, I've learned to be exalted. I've learned to be abased. We probably, you know, if you've been on both sides or just one side, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Amen. And I learned that. I was about 18 years old. I remember being out there and I was like, these people, look at them worship. And so, you know, it's those people that mess up that curve. Didn't you hate those people in school? When they're grading on a curve, and you can stand around and say, well, we can't do it. There's no way we can pass this test. This test is too hard. There's no way I can live for God in my current condition. I don't have enough money. I don't have, my bank account's not full. But then you see somebody like them, they didn't even have enough food, and they shared their food with us, and church time come, the church was full. They begin to worship God, and I'm like, Lord, I can't complain. Amen. Spiritual growth has nothing to do with when you look at those saints in Mexico or some other city. You know, you can preach godliness and gain in our country. You couldn't preach that in the back countries of Mexico, in those little villages. They would be like, what? It'd be foreign to them. But you know what? The thing about this gospel message here is it doesn't matter where it's preached. You don't have to adjust it. You don't have to change it to the society. Amen. The word of God stands sure and it reaches to all nations. I mean, this isn't an American gospel. This isn't just for our country. This is for the whole world. And so when you say, well, you know, if you're serving God, then he's going to fill your pocketbook. You can't preach that in Mexico. It doesn't work. Amen. But we're talking about spiritual growth this morning. We're talking about those. He says, when you hear this stuff, withdraw thyself. What was that, Peggy? You said your husband, Gordon, used to say, good run is better than a bad stand. Amen. Sometimes it's all right to run away, isn't it? When you're hearing something, it's all right to go the other. You say, well, I'm not a coward. Good run's better than a bad stand. Amen. Y'all know the example of that in the Bible, don't you? Who was it? Joseph? Amen. Read that if you've never read. Read the story of Joseph. He was put in charge of Potiphar's house, and the Bible tells us that, you know, he was first in his house, and Potiphar didn't even know what he had. Didn't even know. All he knew was the bread that he had to eat, and when it come time to eat, it was there, and everything else was in Joseph's command, in Joseph's charge. Except there was one that he said he kept from him, and that was his wife. Well, Potiphar's wife had her eye on Joseph and wanted Joseph. And so she'd go after him. Come be with me. Joseph said, he's put me in charge of everything. He's kept one thing from me. That's his wife. I'm not going to do it. But she persisted. She kept on. And then one day, the Bible says that they were in the house by themselves. All the other men were gone. Here comes Potiphar's wife again. This time she grabs a hold of his cloak. And the scripture says that he left it behind and he ran. Amen. So, well, it got him in trouble. Yes, it did, but you know what? He still had God's favor. I mean, got him locked up in prison, but he was still God's man. He still served God right there in that prison. And once again, God exalted him in due time. Amen. We're not talking about prosperity this morning. So if it's not any of this, if we've talked about enough things that spiritual growth is not. So we want to get in, you know, as we start this study of what it is. So let's start first back where we were in 2 Peter. And I think we can Peter gives us a good key that we can kind of carry with us throughout this study of spiritual growth. 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's just read that verse again. But grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's look at the last part there. To him be glory, both now and forever. To him be glory, both now and forever. God, let our life glorify you. Here's the key. When we talk about our spiritual growth, it's God, whatever situation I'm in my life, whatever I have to go through, Father, let it glorify you. Let it bring glory to you. God, let it lift you up. To God be the glory. Over and over throughout Scripture, we can find the purpose that we say, Lord, if it means that if I've got to go through this on behalf of your kingdom to reach someone else, God, give me the strength to endure the hardness. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Another quote I'd read was this: maturity begins to grow when you can sense your concern for others outweighing your concern for yourself. Amen. That's Scripture. Scripture says it this way: consider others better than yourself. I think we're becoming mature Christians when we begin to look outside of ourselves. I was having this conversation with a guy at work one day, and he was talking about all this with his life and all this going on and all this depression and hardship he's going through and the struggles he's had. And I finally, I was just like, listen, you're too focused on yourself. Get your eyes off of you. Amen. Even if you would begin to get your eyes off, and this is even outside of if he never put his faith in God, which we know that's the true peace that we get is only in Christ Jesus. But when we quit focusing on ourselves, even as Christians, we do that often. I've done it myself. Just look at me. How's this affect me? How's this going on in my life? Begin to look outside. And if you'll reach out to someone else, all of a sudden you'll begin to feel an inner strength inside of you. Because we're not so concerned about what's going on in us. That the concern of others is outweighing our concern for ourselves. God, let it bring glory. Let my life bring glory to you and for the kingdom of God. Turn it to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to wrap it up here this morning. But let's look at that verse here first. Ephesians chapter 3. Let's just start with verse 20 there. I was reading this morning, and it just kind of blessed me in a sense that I guess if there's one thing that just I have a tendency to let bring me down as I look around and I see the condition of our world. I see our direction of our country, and I see all this going on. And, you know, you just say, God, give us, we just want one victory. You know, we just want to come on top in one law that's passed and one thing that's going on in our world. God, just let something turn us. But it seems like that the world has to go their way. They have to go a certain direction for a while and pass certain laws. And you know what? That brings forth fruit, doesn't it? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that's how he also reap. If you sow what you sow, you're going to get back. It's the law of the harvest. It's the same thing. You put, you know, apples in the ground, that's what you're going to get eventually. You're going to get an apple tree, and that's just God's law of the seed. That's why, you know, you can take an ungodly man and you look at him, it seems like he's prospering and got plenty of money. Well, you know what? That's what he's sowing. That's what he's going after, and so that's what he's going to get. We're sowing other things. God, we're sowing those eternal things. It doesn't pass away. So when I so often I'll let that bring me down. I think, you know, Lord, I hate to see the world have to go that way. But it just may have to. And then reap from that. But I tell you what, I'm glad to be a child of God this morning. I mean, I believe there's a difference between Egypt and Goshen. I believe we can be above. We're in the kingdom of God. We're living in his presence today. But listen how Paul puts it here in Ephesians chapter 3. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. That verse 21 there, that may just be a real good one to mark. When you start getting discouraged, when I start getting brought down low, and to realize that this great man of God, the Apostle Paul, took time here and prayed for you and I. Amen? He says this, he says, unto him be glory in the church. Father, help the church to bring forth glory to you. The ecclesia, the called out ones, help us to bring glory. Help us to mature. Help us to have spiritual growth. Help us to be strong in the Lord. And he says, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. In our day, God, help the church to bring glory to God. Help our lives to be an example to those around us. And that's why we want to study. That's why we want to look into the Word of God. That's why we want to say, God, help us to grow. Lord, help us to be bringing forth the sincere milk of the Word as much as the meat of the Word. Help the saints of God be in a position where we can be lights to the world, to our generation. Our time does need men and women of integrity, doesn't it? I mean, our day needs people that will stand up and not withdraw. My challenge to you this morning is this. Don't withdraw. Your days are limited. You know that? You have few days. I know that might discourage you a little bit, but your life is just a vapor. You're not here very long. Don't waste the impact you can have. Do it on behalf of your family. Do it on behalf of my children, their children, and the children to come after them. Impact with your life. Amen. If God has set you free, if he's moved in your life, amen, if he has delivered you from the powers of darkness and he's translated you into the kingdom of his dear son, my challenge to you is affect your world. I mean, affect your age. The time that we live, it's short. Man, I'm 40-some years old, and I thank God. I read about, you know, I always have this idea when I read about these men that did great things in the world, and they did, you know, accomplish great feats and great battles and all this thing. I always had an idea those dudes were always older than me. I had time to do that. And then I hear where one of them died at 48. One of them died at 38. One of them died at 42. I'm like, Lord have mercy, I got to get busy doing something. Man, but you know what we want to do? I'm not trying to put too much pressure on you. I'm just telling you, affect your time. Get back on the front line. Get off the back and get on the front and let's work for the Lord. Amen. Let's work for God. Let's use our talents for him. Amen. Because your days are few. And look around these young kids that are here. Look downstairs, some of them right now. Man, I don't know what's ahead. I don't know where our country's going. I don't even know where the world's headed. But I do know this. It needs men and women of integrity. It needs men and women that will stand up and say, I'm going to hold up the standard. Amen. I was trying to find a story I heard preached one time, and I'll try to tell it in closing, but I remember, I think it was by a man by the name of Ben Jordan. He was preaching, and he told the story about this army that was in battle, and the soldiers were being beat back, and they had the flag, the standard, held up before the fight, and one of the commanders came to the general and said, "Sir, the armies are retreating. Shall we bring the standard back to the armies?" And he said, "No." He said, "Let's bring the armies back up to the standard." And that's my challenge this morning for us. Let's don't bring the standard back to where we are, but let us advance forward to where the standard is. And you know where the standard is? It's right here. Amen. The Word of God. Amen. God's Word, God's instruction, spiritual growth. Lord, open our eyes that we might see. Lord, help us to see what you would have us to be. Don't let us be, you know, just so maybe conformed to our age. It's easy to do. Just do nothing. And then our minds start to change. We start to think differently. But Lord, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let it. It shows, to me, it speaks of some responsibility on our part, doesn't it? When we get commands, I mean, I wish God would just say, "Let it," and then all of a sudden all his word's in there, and I can just speak the word of God, and I can just quote it like, "Oh, yeah, thus saith the Lord." I always wanted to do that as a kid. I remember some of the preachers used to come around, and they get to preach, and they could just quote the word of God. Just boom. Remember we had one guy from Georgia, and he would get up and get to preaching, and he'd start quoting scripture, and boy, he would just let it roll. It would just go. And I'd be like, "Man, he is under the anointing. He's under the Spirit. Listen to how the Spirit of God is just speaking through that man. He's quoting that scripture, and it's just rolling off his tongue." And then I found out this guy didn't watch any TV. I found out this guy spent hours and hours in the Word of God. I found out that there was something, a price that he paid to be able to do and minister the way he did. And I was like, "Oh, I don't know if I want to do that. I would just rather it just happen." Amen. God, use my life. Lord, use us. Let's get on the front line this morning. Amen. Let's let God use us with our talents for his glory and for our day. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. God, we just, Lord, help us, Lord, to get on the firing line. Amen. God, help us to work in our day, or to minister, to reach out, God, to be, Lord, zealous for your work. Use us for your glory, God. Use us, God, as we desire to mature, as we desire growth in our life, as we look into your word. Lord, let it bring forth fruit in our day. Lord, our day needs examples. We know that. Our day needs godly men and women that will stand up and say, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And Lord, it is our desire that we be those. Help us not to be so consumed with ourselves and what we want and what our desires are, but let us yield it to you. Use us, Lord, for your glory. In Jesus' name. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. If you want to pray, please come pray. If you need prayer, please come up and ask for prayer. Let's just take a few minutes and just meditate on the Lord.